Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me? Gabriel, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Good evening. Welcome back. Tonight's show, Blog Talk Radio, Indigenous Voices of People. I'm the guest host, Jabril Snom, and Strong Bear, Abdullah LB. And our star host, Chinupa Blue High Money. And this is your show, folks, the Indigenous Voices of People. In honor of our brave sister, Leona Brando, who graciously blessed us to have this song by sharing it with us, with all the indigenous people, so that we can have a voice so that those injustices that still go on today in Indian country here in Turtle Island, or Island Hill, still going on to this very day against our people who live in isolation away from the main centers of population on the reservations. A lot of their voices are not heard. A lot of the grievances are not heard. The public doesn't know of the things that go on in Indian country. But this is a platform, folks, where we can get that information out, and we can discuss that information, and we can share knowledges and share understandings so that we may all prosper and that we all may seek justice and aid one another to moving on to bigger and better things here in Indian country for our indigenous people on Turtle Island. We always start our show off by saying a prayer, close with a song in our traditional ways. And we thank everybody for calling and supporting the show, calling in and sharing your knowledges and experiences and the wisdoms. And we have a few elders that call consistently, but we implore all of our people, call in, share your understanding. Sometimes somebody might disagree with you or whatever, but that's the nature of the world, how things go around. Everyone has different views, different opinions, different ways of accomplishing the same goal. So do call in, 657-383-1630, and express your views, your concerns, your opinions, and share the knowledge. And share your indigenous languages, folks. We need to bring our languages back, and the way we bring them back is that we implement them, we express them. And if you don't know fluently, start with vocabulary, learn a little by little, and start sharing that back and forth with each other. And next thing you know, you have structure and you have conversation, and then you pick your language back up. So we're going to say a prayer and then get started here. Welcome back to Saturday Night, Indigenous Voices of People. You want to say a prayer?
In the name of the Creator, the Most Merciful, the Most Merciful, and the most Merciful. Alhamdulillah, the Amaneen, Rahman Rahim, Man, Elidin, Yaz, and Abudu, Yakin, and Sting, Inspecti, God, Tulabin, Amtali, Him, and the Army.
Well,
Amen.
Keep the rest for you. Thank you, Amin, for the prayer. And may your prayers always be answered, and may all the prayers of all of be answered. And may all of our hearts always move towards the good, towards each other, so that we may prosper and use our voices one nation once again and stamp out corruption, so that our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and succeeding generations to come may have chance and opportunity to do things for themselves and the other family members to come and be able to pick this way of life up again, take care of the elders, take care of each other, and guard those sacred knowledges and those sacred items which has been given to us, which are sacred and dear to us. very valuable, whereas one person may not understand, but those who understand the Creator, understand the way of Mother Earth and the natural way of the plant and the animal world, the animal people, the bird people, the plant people, the human people. It's all a perpetual cycle, and it's all a uniform, what they say, a universal concert. Like you go to an orchestra, everything is in a flow. The music is all flowing, the different instruments flow, and they make a beautiful song. When the wind blows through the trees, the wind, the trees, the leaves, the limbs, they all sing a beautiful song. And all those beautiful songs are what? Prayers. Sacred prayers for those who know. So we like to express it in that terms. And once again, thank you everyone for being part of the show and sharing your knowledges with us and many others who call and listen. And hopefully we can all be a benefit to one another and gain success in this life and the life to come. Okay, I want to get into a couple of topics. Our main subject, our main topics is always independence. I want to talk about something in that independence that I learned from my brother, Chinupa Gluha Money. And I learned this long ago from some other brothers and elders who I was blessed to live amongst and to travel with. And this is thing we call it in our language, we call it yakin. And yakin means to totally rely upon the Creator for your need. And then when you totally rely upon the Creator to give you that which you need, which He give us all, everything we have, it comes from the Creator. He created it to serve us. So one time we went to, we were going to a rally to one of the young brothers there from, I think from the Ponca tribe. The police shot him and martyred the brother. Young brother, young man. And had a wife and new baby, and they shot him at a hospital. And so we went to protest and go to the Capitol building concerning his affair. And then in that, we were going to Sundance after that. And Chinupa wanted to go back to Pine Ridge and go, and we had to wait for them to be ready for it, get ready for the Sundance. So maybe we had a week or something. So not having those provisions to travel, I explained this to Chinupa, that I only had enough provision to come to Nebraska for this event. And I didn't prepare to go further or stay extended time. And he told me, don't worry about that. Put your dependence on the great mystery and go forward. So when he said that, light bulbs and bells went off and alarms went off, because I had learned this long ago, had experienced this before. But sometimes we get in a situation and we lose sight of that spiritual aspect because of all this distortion in the modern world. But just that reminder. So then we, long story short, we took off, we went to Pine Ridge, and we made it over there, and we stayed a week, and then we wind up going back there. And when you practice this yakin, when you fulfill this, then the provisions always come from some undreamt source. It means you had no idea, and you had no plan, but it came to you because you put the dependency on that. So Mother Earth, you know, Creator sent it through Earth, through somebody, through some means. And this is the real essence of what that word means, Yakin. And it's a part of the spirituality that one can experience when you put that yourself in that right position, when you go in the sweat and the nipi, and you make the prayers in there, you're in total darkness. You're with others. Sometimes you may go alone, but most of the time you, well, my experience has been with others. But in there, when you realize, you know, it's like you're back in the womb again, and you're purifying. Impurities are coming out due to the heat and the humidity of the sweat. But the spiritual aspect in making the prayers, because it's like you're in the, you're alone and you're making these prayers, and this is coming from inside of you. And Mother Earth hears you. She is alive too. And as you sit upon her bosom and you make these prayers, she's a witness. This is a true aspect of the spirituality, because in there, some of us, we make the sujood, we make the sajda, and that's where you put your eloquent part, your face, to the ground in submission. Because we are very small, very weak creature. In the conglomerate of the created creatures, we are very weak. Very small, very fragile. But yet we have the ability to be the leadership of all, the custodian of all the other creations, even the malaika, the angels. They bow to you, to us, the human, because the responsibility has been given to us. In the ancient teachings, they say even the mountains turned down the responsibility, but man took the responsibility. So being the custodian of the creation of Mother Earth means don't pollute the water, don't pollute the people, don't pollute your own self. Don't pollute the land. Live in harmonious perpetual motion with the things of nature. Because they all have a high significance, but we take a lot for granted. And we live amongst the people who take everything for granted because of Nafs, his desires. He wants everything he see that don't belong to him. He want to take everything he behold with his eyes, even if it's too big for him to pick it up and take it with him. He still want it. I want the land. You can't never own the land. The land owns you. You walk upon the earth, you die, you go back into the earth. Your flesh came from the earth, and it's going back. Your spirit came from the great mystery, it's going back. Our time is very limited. No one knows his hour, his appointment, but everybody has an appointment. So in this beautiful place we call home, Mother Earth, is a temporary stay, a temporary stopover till you go back to the star people. Samawati wa Ard, the heavens and the earth. And we in the middle, in between. But we have to go back. We on the hills of our ancestors, and our children are on our hills. And we are all traveling, passing through here. You can't own anything. You came bare, bearing anything, owning nothing. When you leave, you own nothing, and you take nothing with you except what you did, what you said, what you acted, how you performed. That's your honor. That's your accreditation. That's your validation. How you can tell the great creator a falsehood. Not gonna fly. How you can tell Mother Earth a falsehood? She sees us every day. The trees witness us. The birds witness us. The animals witness us. A day will come for each and every one of us when the tongue can no longer tell a lie, when the hands can no longer take that which don't belong to them, when the feet can't carry you to a place you're not supposed to go or things you're not supposed to be involved with. One day that day will come for all of us when the malaika come and they extract the ruh, they take the spirit out, the separation. Mother Earth will reclaim her dirt. Great Mystery will reclaim his breath back. They call this death, which is a door, a passageway. We came through a passageway for my mom to come here. And we have to go back to the Earth Mom, go back. But while we are here, each and every one of us have a task to perform, to be a father, to be a husband, to be a brother, to be a son, to be an uncle, to be a grandfather, to be a custodian, to be a mentor, to be an educator, to be a teacher, to be a student. These are all the different steps. They say we love to ride. We came, we rode in our mother's, we rode in our father's loins, we rode in our mother's belly, we rode on our father's shoulders, we rode on our two legs, we rode in the arms of grandma and mom, suckling, and we rode on our feet and our legs, and then we would ride on the shoulders of our brothers, and then we ride back into the arms of our earth mother. And the malaika, they're going to take the spirit, accompany, escort the spirit to the barzakh, to the place of questioning. See if the great mystery accepts us back, or he don't accept us. If we're good enough to come back, or are we clean enough? Because those who lie, murder, deceit, corruption, theft, all these heinous behaviors, abuse others, animals, kids, old people. These people are not going to be, how are they going to have success with the creator, with the great mystery, with the great creator? How are they going to have success when they meet Mother Earth in person, when they go back inside? But the people are stupid. They have forgotten. They're spiritually lazy or become spiritually dead. And there are many different pronunciations of this throughout the land, throughout different nations, different tribes. But each and every person, he feels that criterion which is placed in every heart. Every heart know when he's doing right, when he's doing wrong. When he's doing good, he did right. He feels tranquil. He feels good about himself. He feels uplifted. But when he did something bad, he feels wavering. He feels you feel shame. You feel anything you don't wish for anybody to know about his bad deed. Don't wish this to get out to the public. And some people say, oh, I don't care. But when it become known to everybody, you feel ashamed. You feel disgrace. And if anybody say they don't, he's lying. He's lying to himself. Because when he's by himself, when there's no light, true self talk to the self, no matter how wretched or how righteous. This is the true essence in the spirituality, whether they want to accept it or not. It's what it is. And many people pronounce it in many different ways, but you boil it all down, it's good, it's bad. It's you either right or you're wrong. So when we go up against these people who are of all these bad traits and qualities, the Washitu, unfortunate for them, most of them, they are victims themselves. And realize it not. And some of them do realize it, but they wish not to change. Why? Because of his love for that which is fleeting, which he has to leave it behind. He's willing to sacrifice you, me, and himself, and everything else. This is why we need independence, folks. Because if we want to live according to our traditional ways, we want to practice our languages, our belief systems, our indigenous ways of life, we have to be away from the crookedness, away from those lies and those conjectures and those things which lead us to those destructions. It's very disheartening to see our people in this condition today, our kids killing each other, killing themselves, drugs and alcohol running rampant amongst the young people. Our kids strung out on meth, strung out on heroin, and who knows all these different drugs. But we have to fight hard. We can't give up. We cannot give up on our young people. We cannot give up on each other. We cannot give up the struggle, no matter what. If one of us hurt, we all hurt. If one of us suffer, we all suffer. That's true unity. The Creator said, none of you truly believe in him till you wish for your brother what you wish for yourself. Well, who is your brother? Your brother is all the living beings. Everything that lives, that needs water, these are your brothers and sisters. Whether they be human, whether it be a dog, whether it be a tree, whether it be a bird, whether it be an ant, even something as small as an ant, it's very, very significant. That life of that one ant is extremely significant.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk up everybody's time. We're going to open the floor for other topics, other things people want to talk about. Yeah, sometimes Chinook would tell me I talk too much. I've been a talker all night. So we're always back to you, I mean.
I love to hear that answer right there. My little brother. My little brother told himself, I talk too much. How you all doing this evening? Great.
Yeah,
I'm doing great.
Well, listening audience need to understand one thing. Many times, a lot of our ancestors have taught us the understandings between fairness and balance. And that's vested upon individual selves. My grandpa once told me a long time ago, he said, when a people remove themselves from the forest, the people become unknown. What becomes unknown, you want to destroy. So being personally connected to song, prayer, the way of living, giving thanks, we forget about those things in a modern perspective because everything, the grocery store, the fast food joint, everything that is created by civilized modern man, they don't put their energy of prayer in what they're cooking, what they're making, what they're serving you to eat from sunup to sundown. We say this to help you guys understand the fairness and balance between freedom and independence. When you have those two, then you achieve something that our ancestors have been talking about since they left us, and many have. I know my Grandpa Roy was one of them. My Grandma Cecilia, my mom, my dad, who I found, you know, murdered by automobile. Charles Ray is a bastard. White man turned. But nonetheless, America is a fatherless country and a motherless country. So when I look back at Turtle Island, on the other hand, Turtle Island had parents that are still here. So the same with indigenous cultures and many others, all the four-legged winged creatures. And when I say we don't give thanks anymore, we don't understand that. That's the hard part. My nephew Franklin participated in a demonstration today, helping our people, especially him at his age, in his early 30s, representing the youth. I'm grateful for that, to take a stand and represent our people. And he's a member of a Strongheart Dog Soul. He's one of ours. And for him, reflecting to that, he saw how the people, Native people, went by and supported us on our stand to really take a stand against medical tyranny. And the signs that we both brandished was about COVID-19, America's new smallpox blanket. That was our terminology we used. And so for a majority of the other people that had their signs and whatnot, they can only for themselves. I invited them to come on the radio show. Fortunately, they won't. And then, you know, that's them. But here's the catch, folks. My mom once told me something, and this is food for a thought. She said, son, one day, and she said, do you like eating pie? I said, yes. Mom, I like eating your pie, the best you make. And my mom made the best apple pie that you can ever have a woman cook. And so my mom would always help me slice her apples up, paper thin. So I had to use a potato peeler to slice them up for her to make them real rich and tasty and so they wouldn't burn. And mom taught me how to make this pie. And she said, son, if you don't follow what I'm teaching you in making this pie and all you're going to eat is just a slice, you're going to remain hungry. And she was teaching me the value of life from an independent perspective. My mom graduated in 1952 from a little log house school here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in the district of Slim Buttes. I took Jabril out there many times to fish. He slept out there with me during the summer months. And it was a beautiful time getting prepared to eat out there and then get on a road trip to go to a Sundance. That's what I taught my little brother, Jabril. And the reality, he's seen that, how we smoked fish together, took the fish on our road trip to eat. And we did it on an independent structure. Only Jabril could tell that story. So mom, on the other hand, when she taught me how to make pie, which I still do occasionally when I'm hungry, I make that. I don't make it as good as mom's, but I make it so I can eat it, so I don't remain hungry. But she said, that's how America was going to become, because America is a fatherless and a motherless country. They have not ever took the responsibility of utilizing prayer and the ingredients to make that pie taste good. Like I said, mom was the only one. And I make pie, but not like mom. And so I learned from these teachings, no different than my Grandpa Roy and my Grandma Cecilia. I learned teachings from them too. But when mom told me that, life was like a piece of pie. And if that's all you're going to eat, you are going to remain hungry because you didn't pay attention to her teaching you how to make it. And mom, if you're looking down from me from the heavens above, I love you for that. Thank you for teaching me that. Because my mom, when she left me, and before she left me, she used to always say, my boy, wachemichi chayo. She said, pray for me, my son. And I'd pray for my mom. Those are the great things that I remember with my family values. That's how the freedom of independence work. And so when I was working with Lehman Brightman and Russell Means and many others, I used Grandpa's parentheses of teaching to teach them how to understand that if you never had balance, there would never be no fairness with oneself. And I give all of you that because a lot of us were raised by moms. We were also raised by grandmothers and grandfathers. And see, we all come from single-parent families or even just with grandparent families. Some of us were raised orphaned. But nonetheless, I proud my nephew for taking part in our demonstration today. I love him. I do all kinds I can for, to help on my nephew. But they're my family. These are my brother's boys. And just like I serve my older brother, I have to help him. His mom, my Mama Grace, Eagle Fox. My Mama Grace told me the same thing. She said, my boy, please look after Louis Blue for me. So today at the age of 64, I'm looking back at that and still taking care of my older brother. When it's supposed to be the older, other way around. Older brothers are supposed to look out for their little brother. And something really dawned on me today because my nephew, Franklin, was trying to do the same thing what a younger brother would do for his older brother. And these are the preconditions that we never had because there was no drugs here, no alcohol, none of that sociological deformatory, none of that stuff that created sensitivism. These were all brand new to the indigenous people in the continent of Turtle Island. So without any further interruption of any other understandings that are happening on tonight's radio show, I thank Jabril, I thank Amin and all you listening audiences that are participating tonight in the show to engage on demonstrating that things that are really important to us because medical tyranny is happening. And you can never ever trust a government or a state because they mandate stuff. But on the next slogan I'm going to use at another gathering, I am going to say this, and folks listen to it. I'm going to make a poster of it. Let's ask the state to erase their hate. What's a hell of a slogan, huh? Because that's what's coming from it. It's happening now, folks. And until all you recognize that stance, then and only then can we find our place in life to remain free and independent without the keys of Wolakota. And I can only speak to that as a Lakota. And this is how I'll give it to you. That's in honor of all you women and you young ladies and children, little babies, little girls that are growing up to become women. That song is yours in honor of Tanupa and the Strongheart Dog Soldiers for a great day that we Stronghearts participated. And thanks goes out to my nephew Franklin for participating with us and of recognizing men medical tyranny. I honor all of you with that song. And I turn it back over to all of you. Thank you, and it's Chinupa. Aho.
Eric, so we're gonna let some of the callers calling to voice they what they have to say. Area code 630-3600. Where are you calling from? What's your name? State your concern.
Oh, hey, this is Gabriel from Illinois. How you guys doing?
You doing fine yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Just listening in, really.
Okay. Area code 505. Okay. Area code 575-5025. Like where you calling from, your name, what's your concern? Okay, next call. Area code 734-0196. State your name, where you calling from, what's your concern? Do you have any other
questions? Father, it was your brother, Ali, from the Detroit, Michigan area.
I had the
time and opportunity to research what is called the definition of the American, United States, that is, and they said it actually has been defined as a corporation. So I was trying to see if anyone can, I'm sure, you know, someone, Chinupa, Gabriel, somebody can explain to me what are they meaning by America is a corporation when they clearly, you know, we have been looking at them as a governmental entity. So I'm trying to find out when they said that, you know, because of the Title 28 U.S. Code 3002, Section 15-8, they're being defined as a corporation. Is that true? And if so, how are they able to run this whole Turtle Island under those guises?
You know, that's a remarkable question this young brother brought up. So I'm going to amplify on that real strongly. And everybody's listening, virtue of this show tonight, really pay attention to this. When the corporation took over the White House, President Hamilton was the first independent president that created the Continental Dollar. The Continental Dollar was implemented for a trade commodity. In other words, the people had trade goods, whether they were animal pelts or meat from the Alamo, you know, the animals, corn, any type of necessity that families had to participate in serving the papers of how we survived in a modern attire. And so when the White House started getting bombarded with different, you know, family members and farmers, you know, creating different aspects of taking control of the economy, which is the produce and the livelihood of livestock, pigs, chickens, beef, you name it. We indigenous people had nothing to do with that because we already had our own commerce exchange, which I put my input about trade goods through animal pelts and so forth. That was our commodity. That was our trade good. That's how we traded with other tribes for pemmican or turnips or corn or beans and potatoes. These are all essential to our land here in Turtle Island, even carrots. Carrots and, you know, these were things that a lot of tribes would use for make stews and broiled meat. Broiled meat were hung over the flames, like when you smoke cook, you know, animal remnants to eat for nourishment, and even vegetables and nutritious fruits. So when the commerce exchange was creating such a beautiful way of Sharon trade goods. The colonial conscripts. Don't forget this, folks. These conscripts of policies through tyranny were brought here from Great Britain. British policies make the world England, okay? I've been to England. I've been over there. I've been to Finborough, London, England. My brother, Jamie Moran, Dr. Jamie Moran, invited me over there, so I went. And to see customs different than what Americans have over here, it's not the same. The English over there in Europe and in England is broken, like the Lakota people and many other tribes still have the language, and when they try to adapt modern culture's way of teaching through English, it's broken. Mom, my mother, my late mother, Yvonne Jane Martin, Chante Otame, the big-hearted woman. That was my mom's name, Chante Otame. That was her name, my mother. So Mom, on the other hand, she couldn't understand English. She couldn't. And so my mom graduated high school that way from a log, you know, cabin, little school house that just the foundation of it is left on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation here in the district of Slim Buttes. Jabril, I showed you that foundation of where my mom went to school in Russell Means and them. See, people don't understand our history, how we as indigenous people lived off the land. Now, here's one of the biggest trickeries in modern existence. when you have two illegal political parties, okay, illegal, Democrat and Republican, voting is a conspiracy to commit murder in a human form. No shit, folks. Take a look at it. So the Democratic and the Republican Party failed to meet the needs of people. Okay? Two presidents in the time of history were the only two that depended on people. The first one, he was shot in the head for it, was Abraham Lincoln. He didn't free nobody, by the way. Don't forget that. The indigenous people freed our black people. We did. And he come along to try to paint the picture that, hey, I'm a stovepipe hat man, and I'm going to tell you guys this, and this is the way it's got to be, because I am Abraham Lincoln. Well, Abraham Lincoln was a liar, too. But even though he was in a position to make change, what did he believe in to create the war and stop the war between the South and the North, huh? Abraham Lincoln was the only man in the presidential seats that believed in the government. The government, because it was for the men, by the men, and for the people, okay? That was his theory, right? So corporations couldn't handle that because he used the government to give him the money to fight the war. And that's what these bankers turned around and did, put a bullet in that guy's head and killed him. I read somewhere when I was out east, out in Baltimore, Maryland, where his family, I guess, were trying to exhume his body and the death and how he died. But because white men always make all these perspectives of, you know, irregulatories, they wouldn't let the family do that. And the second one was the 50 set piece guy, JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. JFK did the same thing. But he created two denominations that are still here, folks, in the name of freedom. And those two denominations were the $2 bill and the $5 bill. They're still here. But what you don't see anymore is the 50-cent piece. Duh. When I say you all talk too much, know the history of what this government's capable of doing. That's what these banks do. So since the corporations took this and implemented a chain of command through legislation and made it a law, they violated their own parentheses of the Constitution. You cannot coin or mark monetary existence, mammon. You cannot do that to mammon. And if you guys don't know what the term mammon means, it means money. And the hard part is, The trade commodity is still in existence. Different tribes are using their artistic ability to trade with one another, whether it's the star blanket or a medallion or shawls or moccasins, bridge cloths. What they got away from is selling spirituality. And you all know this. Even the so-called Muslim people in my country are selling their spirituality. Take a look at Louis Farrakhan. He's doing that. His name ain't Man Farrakhan. Hell no. His name is Louis something. Louis Jackson, maybe. I don't care what his last name is. But the point that I raise, our people are selling spirituality because the Catholicism allowed all them other churches to do the same in the name of corporate greed. You mean to tell me, listening audience, that the great mystery God himself said, put my name on the coin metal or the paper money because it says in God we trust? Hell no. You don't believe in that monetary existence. Don't forget, in the Bible, Christ himself, before they killed him, destroyed the holy tabernacle. Remember? All those merchants were in there selling shit. So Jesus raised hell in them. Destroyed it all because that's what they were doing, selling in the holy tabernacle, which was the church. You couldn't do that. But the real church people couldn't understand was the human body. That's your church. Don't forget Mary Magdalene. She had nothing to give Christ. And the only thing she ever had was what? Two pieces of what? Coins and a small one. It wasn't enough to buy her even a loaf of bread. And this is what the Romans did. So Mary Magdalene paid for a blessing to Christ to pray over. You see, this is the part that people don't get. I know I come from, man, the upbringing of Christianity because my late brother, Jonathan Leonard Martin, was an ordained gospel mission minister. My brother, my little brother, John. He was. And he didn't read the Bible to tell his scriptures. Hell no, my brother didn't do that. He taught it from the heart and the word of mouth. And that's how I supported my brother. And he left me a few years ago. And my second oldest son, Dwayne, man, found him. You see, these are the things that my people carry. I found my own biological father murdered, run over by white man. So I was raised a bastard. Well, if America is a fatherless and a motherless country, why can't we blame the white man for all his racial bigotry? Huh? Isn't that the way to define existing freedom and balance? Yes, it does. But because you cannot make a crust on your bread, you don't know how to make, you know, the ingredients to form that bread. What do, America? You all are lining up in the grocery store to buy just that loaf of bread. And one day, that loaf of bread, which you see now, there are certain items in the grocery stores that are not in the grocery store shelves. This is what's happening. But you white people created that. You did that because these corporations keep going. Look at the prices of the commodities and products. They're going up. Think about it. It's about all these elite rich people. They want to devour people in the name of spirituality. It's out there. Go see. But the sad thing is, oh, because America has created this pandemic, America's been making shit up since they arrived here in 1492. Don't forget the smallpox blankets. My God, people, can't you guys open up your eyes and see the house is burning? No matter who you put in there, it's the same thing. America is the only country in this globe that repeats history. As I said in this opening sentiment, British policies make the world England. Duh. And they were the first ones to create what? A red and white blue flag. Don't forget the 1700s. Hell, Russell Means started a movie where he was a Mohican. Don't forget that. And you see the French and Britain's military, they faced off who was going to surrender first, right? So the French forced the British people to surrender because they couldn't take them on. French people, people that had a language from their own country, defeated them. This is how they put Indian against Indian. The same way now in 2021, they're putting blacks against blacks, Hispanics against Hispanics, indigenous against indigenous, and now whites against whites. The jails in America are racially motivated by white supremacists. They're employed by the police departments, the county sheriff's departments, even the judges and prosecutors. They're all in there. But the sad thing, people want to talk about legislation and policies. I don't give a damn about them because I'm not a white man. That's the white man's creativity. And as long as you feed off that and look up information for that, you're going to continue to stay captive because he controls you. You'll never become a free man. Don't ever forget that. And when you forget to acknowledge that, don't forget this, folks. There are 3/4 of my tribal people, 3/4, that were erased from Turtle Island through ethnic cleansing, through Acadian fundamental practice. Those people can't reproduce anymore thanks to the white man. And that's what propitious fundamental practice means. I've been overseas to learn that concept. Propitious fundamental practice is stronger than genocide. Genocide creates half-breeds. Duh. So America is a half-breed, you know, continent and a country described as itself as a nation when in fact it's one big Indian reservation. Hello? And the only bloodline that you can trace goes as far as the county and state line. Sad but true. So all these policies that white people had made was to neutralize your connection to freedom and independence. That's how you answer that question. And that's how you make that story short. Back to you all, listening audience.
Oh, man, that was deep, really deep. Why? Because you touched on a lot of different issues and you kept it in the perspective of free thinking, critical thinking, not constructive thinking by someone else, because that's what happened when they came in and hijacked the country. South walked out, the British walked in, their store was open. And now they got everybody under that commercial store construct for the last 150 years. But with free thinking, independent thinking, critical thinking, you remove yourself from being a member of the store. You can still participate, shop at the store, but you don't have to be under the policies of the store because you're not a member of the store. But they want to make everybody a member.
They did make everybody a member through the 14th Amendment. They annexed everybody as a slave to the 14th Amendment. They made them federal citizens.
Well, I mean, the tribal governments, that's where they appoint the leader. They're not chosen by the community. They're appointed by the white man. And so they a government-to-government relationship. Well, this means their government is a grocery store, is a business, is a gambling casino, is a whorehouse, is a mall. They have turned, tweaked, and turned everybody into that. And if you stand upon that platform, that's how they're going to deal with you. If you step into your own self, your independence, your self-determination, that free thinker, that's the one they don't like. Then you're no longer a member of that. Yeah.
question. The brother that asked that question. When you look at figurines in my country, it's no different than a mannequin in a clothing store or even a shopping center, okay? When you look at all these figurines, the Shrine of Democracy we have in South Dakota, those presidents' heads, you know, Roosevelt and Lincoln and Knucklehead, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, those four idiots were all famous Indian killers, okay, and land thieves, all right? And so how can they be great when all they did was kill, 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 kill? White man loved to kill everything. Okay? How can these men be great when all they did was kill nothing but poor people, helpless people, people that couldn't defend themselves? If these people that are created by stone figures and many other mannequins described, you know, things, if they're such great people, why in the hell can't you white people let them die? Hell, you even, when I was in Brazil, you got Christ, a great big old white statue of Christ, solid white, with his arms out. This is when I was in Brazil, man. So I know what the hell I'm talking about. I've been to different places. And I've seen people of color struggling to remain free, even in their own. But the advantages they had, I know because I've been to Venezuela before Hugo Chavez passed away. I got to meet the indigenous people over there. And Hugo was an indigenous man. Don't forget Miguel from Ecuador. He was indigenous. And don't forget Evo Morales. These three men ran their own countries, and they were indigenous. They were Indian. They were red people of their own continent. And they knew how to say no to the white man, where the rest of us don't know how. A white man did this to me, and I'm grateful. A white man said that he was tapped out. And whether he was or not, I looked at him this way. I said, okay. So I had other white guys in the circle of them to help step up. And they did. And they said this, those other white men that were in that circle, you know what they said? If one said he was tapped out, he's lying, just like we all do. All we white people love to lie. But we cannot say that we're tapped out, even if it means we got to go in the white, meaning the red, if they had a credit card. You see what I'm getting at? They get the power of what a piece of plastic can do rather than the monetary existence. Mammon, meaning money. This is what I learned about the white race. And it's still happening today in 2021. And the sad thing about all this thing that is unfolding before your eyes, as far as it can see, none of you, and I repeat, none of you, can ever see anything clear with the third eye. Back to you, listening audience.
Well, we'll go back to the brother and see, was that answer clear enough to answer your question?
It was definitely clear enough because, I mean, he touched on all levels of spirituality, mentality, as well as the physical characteristics of our independence. So I appreciate it. I appreciate your input as well, Brother Brett.
Okay. Now, Tanuba, I want to go back to a question with you. You just spoke about the third eye, and a lot of people may not understand what you mean when you say your third eye. You mean like I got two eyes. You mean there's a third one? Some people from our different listening audience may not understand what you mean by that. Can you break that down for them?
Well, let's put it this way. When you take a look at your body, look at yourself in the mirror. You have two arms. They also have two hands. You also have two elbows. You also have two forearms. You have a shin. You have a feet. You have a big toe on the left side and the right side the same way you have a thumb that work together with the fingers, both on the left and right hand. The body, the human body, is the most healthiest form of life that we don't ever pay attention to because we adapted the white man's way of eating, drinking, living. Okay? So you have these two eyes on your face. Which parts of it and all of it is controlled by the brain. Okay? But the third eye is from your heart. Your heart controls the third eye, which is right in front of you, and it's above the two main eyes of the left and right. It's called the forehead. We call it parte, the forehead. That's where the third eye lives. Parte kile. See? So that third eye makes you see everything clear, bad or good. And the hard part is, you people still don't even know how to use it anymore because you never took the time to back up and analyze what your body can do. And that third eye will always be there because that's the one that will point you into the direction of being free and independent. And when you have them in your body, you got fairness and balance. And that's how you make that story short. Back to you. The third eye is right on top of your head. A doctor and a scientist cannot give you that. They're just as stupid. They're book learned. They writ learned. Ours isn't. The value is outside. Take a look at it. Mother Earth sees with her third eye. The great mystery sees with his third eye. And so is the four-legged winged creatures. They can watch you from wherever you're at. So this is why the white man put those space stations up there, huh? To monitor you through phones like this, what we're talking on tonight's show. That man is a fear-based man. When you have a fear-based society like the COVID-19 crap, you create what? Racism, right? And you allow hate to take its place. Duh. Come on, man. I don't want to listen to all that Mickey Mouse crap that everybody keeps fat feeding off. If all you want to do is eat cheese like a tribal government, shut the fuck up and really look what you really have as that person that is part of the freedom and the independence that the great mystery and Mother Earth and all the four-legged winged creatures has guided you to participate with the life you have. And I answer that with an open heart because that's how that third eye has been profound in everybody. You all have forgotten that because we've been bastardized by American technology and wherewithal through all the crap that they've created. Back to you all listening on this, and thanks for that question, Jabril.
Ooh, thanks for that answer, Januba. And that breaks it down, bring us back to that saying, Hayat Dunya. How about Hayat Dunya? He loved the life of the world so much, he forgot about that part of him that can see over on the other side, that can see the beautiful aspects of the thing that you need to be in.
Did they get it?
My mom gave me some for the application.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go get him down. Give him
wow, that's just modern attire.
Thank you.
Which brings me back to another thing about this. The actions, how it brings about the condition of the heart. Those who live on that path of that path of destruction, they have a disease of the heart. They too need a serious healing. Back to you, Amin.
Okay. we had a lot. The borders lit up. I mean, somewhat. And I guess people just listening to the conversation. You know, that's a good thing. You know, like I say, but this is y'all show, you know, and we really urge y'all to give us your opinion. You know, what you think, what has been talked about, what you think. So with that said, like you said, the third eye is like you said,
If you have any other questions or any other topics, just feel free to come on in. We want to hear from you guys. This is Indigenous Voices of People.
Oh, yeah, so I need to ask you the question. When you say stilts and shit, what do you mean by that?
I couldn't hear you. We got some noise in the background.
That's probably me and my nephew talking because he's not accurate. He just got out of jail. I'm trying to tell him that I'm trying to help him, but I have all kinds of stuff going on, and I'm trying to focus on him because he has no one. See, so I'm trying to tell him, but I can get off the phone and then call back in. I need to find out what he's trying to do here because I don't want to go anywhere without no legitimacy. I get screwed over again. I know how that works.
Engage,
sir. Ask questions if you're willing. If it gets heavy, I'll step in and help. All right, hold.
When you said the word citizenship, what do you mean by that?
Citizenship or citizens?
No, stores. You know, Anyway, you were saying a word.
What was the word again?
Stewardship. You know, like when somebody, like, you know, like, okay, when you say somebody's ahead of something, I can't really say the word that gets. Anyway, let's move on. Anyway, people. Anyway, when they start talking about the third eye, that name, if people understand the pineal gland, that also regulates your third eye too. And the third eye is very important because, like Chris said, it helps you to focus and balance certain things. And also, it's called your spiritual eye also. That's your spiritual eye too. You know, to also see a lot of things spiritually and, you know, different parts. If anybody understands what astral projection is, means that means that your body can sit one place, but your spirit and the other body be going to different places. You might think this is not scientific or if it's actually real. People actually can do this. So when you master your third eye, this eye could also see certain things that other people would not understand. So it's a very spiritual thing that people, as you know, it's time to get in focus with.
Brother, I mean, would you think that it would be safe to say that the dreams that we experience would be related to the third eye and activation of the third eye when you have dreams at night and you see different visions and you go different places? Is that possible that the third eye can govern that aspect of your existence as well?
Jabril, you can elaborate on that?
Well, in our probably would have a lot to do with it. In our cultural belief, the dreams, you know, is the spirit travels.
Right.
You know, when you go to sleep, the spirit can travel and go places. And either it go and pray through the night or it travel and go and visit here and there, to and from. And some people, the spirit is given back to them. Some people, it don't give back to Creator. take it and it never make it back to the person. So that third eye, it, you know, that's the opening of the knowledge when the pineal gland is fortified, it's not calcified, it's in active mode. And you in the spiritual realm, you're a prayerful person, you are connected with the Creator, you're connected with the nature and the things of earth. And when you have all, you know, everything is lined up within yourself and you're in that balance, in that third eye, you know, you see things that, you know, especially the matriarchs, they it really is strong with them, you know, that they can see into things that normal people wouldn't be able to see or experience things on a level spiritually or even physically that a lot of people couldn't achieve because once the third eye is closed, the spirit is, it becomes spiritually lazy. Dark deeds pollute the heart. The heart is not illuminated. It's become dark due to his deeds and action and character. Then all these things are a factor within the expansion of the human being, because don't forget, the universe is always expanding. The earth is always, you know, expanding and contraction. Knowledge is supposed to always expand. Your ability, your neural pathways are supposed to always expand by learning more and always increasing. But why do we have this advent of Alzheimer's and dementia and degeneration when our ancestors lived well into the hundreds of years? Why? Because they lived in balance. And we are out of balance, so therefore that high occult, that intellect is not there. That pineal gland, because of malnutrition, becomes calcified, because, and then the heart becomes polluted because the heart is fed by action and intention. What you look at, what you listen to, what you feed yourself internally, and what you work for, this is the things that go into the heart. The eyes are the windows to the inside. But the people don't look at themselves. They look at the tree as just a tree. It's something to cut down and use, is to make some money off of. They don't look at it as that's life. It's giving me oxygen. We are exchanging. That tree is housing squirrels and birds. The leaves are put nutrients into the soil every year over and over and over. It's alive. It's part of the life. But the people become disconnected, and little by little through this distorted distractions of these policies and this, that, the other, higher the dunya, the modern entire life of the world, the people lose themselves. Then they don't have those abilities anymore. Their ability is there, but it's now become dormant because it's been captured, it's been caged, it's been imprisoned. So no longer can you think freely. Look at the people on making these videos, on these rap videos and shows and movies. The people are lost. If you compare them, the people today, to our ancestors. Duh. How long do people live today and how long did they live 100 years ago? Huh?
When you say calcified, what do you mean by calcified?
Well, in your body there are two rivers of life, the river of blood and the liver of endocrine fluid. Well, in the endocrine fluid, there are glands, and the glands start from in your head, two in your head, two in your throat, two, one under each armpit, one in each of the pelvic joints of the legs, and in behind the knees, and down in the wedge of the bone of the in the inner ankles. They don't even count the real tiny small ones. But sometimes those stations, those glands become congested. They calcify. Through malnutrition, eating the wrong foods, and the body going out of balance. The endocrine fluid moves by perpetual motion of muscles, expanding and contraction. So we're supposed to move. Our ancestors, they walk long distances. The other rivers, the blood is moved by the heart. All those cells in balance of nutrients is eating the grasses and the different berries and the different lentils and beans and carrots and the different things is indigenous to the area in which you live. Yes, we are a predatory animal. Yes, sir, we have forward-facing eyes, cutting canine teeth, mainly molars. So, yes, we are equipped to eat meat. But we got 25 feet of intestines, so we can't eat meat 3 times a day, every day, all day, because we'll ruin our digestive system. This is what causes the calcification, is going out of balance. Too much salt, too much sugar, too much starch, too much meat, too much protein, and not enough balance, not enough water, not enough sleep, not enough nutrients. The food has to be masticated, turned to liquid, so that the nutrients can be absorbed through the intestines and go to the bloodstream and be carried by the cells to the places they need to go. And then the oxygen, which exchanged from the lungs, supposed to go to those areas also, and that oxygen gets spent. If it don't get spent, those antioxidants from the vegetation will expend the rest of it. Balance. But we're out of balance, so that's where you get the calcification on the physical level, and then those dark deeds and so forth, they ruin you on the spiritual level. The scientists are taking the water and the ice crystals, and they say a bad word over one and a good word over the other, look at it under the microscope, and they say, oh, wow, transformation. And they see it. That is, the word has a power. It has a life. So that's why we spoke honesty in our languages, because it was a honest word. Most indigenous languages, there's no cuss words. There's no all this foul, filth language. Why? Because they were clean. The original language is given by the Creator, given by the animal kingdom, given by Mother Earth. The people are supposed to be able to communicate with the animal without even using words. From that third eye, those who own a cat, who are a companion with a cat or a dog, if you live with them long enough, you will pick up on that, how he communicate with you through through that telecommunication, which is from the brain, from the spirit. He look at you. He make a certain motion, and you understand what he means. Because he's speaking to you. He's projecting to you. But we once had a connection to everything on that level. But through all this distortion and heinous behavior and all this imposed upon us, now we become victims of that situation. So that's why we running back to independence, so we can go back to our way, so that all those functions about us work and become balanced again. Back to you, Ami. Thanks for that question.
Hey, you just touched on something about the, no, because independence is not just a body. It's independence of body, mind, spirit, and soul. That's independent. You know, so one is, you know, because you got to have all three got to be functioning as one, unit. If one is not functioning, then the body is off balance also. So, you know, as of now, you know, back in the day, they had shackles on the legs and hands. Now they got shackles on the mind. So the thing is about, you know, your mind, you know, when they say shackles on mind, that alcohol, your drugs, your opiates, and all that, that is what you call your mind's being shackled, you know, and it means that you can't move, you can't think, and you know, the zombie state. So they don't have to put chain on your arms and your legs anymore. They got chains on your body, on your mind. So the key effort is to free your mind of all these distractions, the drugs, the alcohol, and the opiates that they pour into you. Because if you don't do that, you always be in that zombie state. And now in your zombie state, you're the other people think for you. Your thoughts is not your own. And when your thoughts is not your own, it means that you don't have independence of thought. Back to y'all, listen, audience.
Well, if anybody want to comment, ask questions, bring up a new topic, we down to the 8:21, 20 minutes into the bottom of the hour. So we just have maybe 9 minutes, folks, and for any last comments or anything anybody want to bring up. Go right ahead. Feel free. Jump right in. Well, there's no comments. We thank everybody for calling and listening in tonight. We really like to have your input also. Thank you, everybody, for calling. Listening audience, for listening in. This is your show, Indigenous Voices of People. 657-383-1630. We thank you, Sister Leona, if you're listening, sharing this with us. Great blessing to have this opportunity to have this talk show where Indigenous people have a voice and they can discuss issues. Thank you, brothers, for calling and having the discussions and raising these topics. All those who don't know about the American rights of Indigenous people, it may be a good start for you on the road to independence that you see that you're not alone in this. They have the UN rights of Indigenous people and then American rights of Indigenous people. So Indigenous people all across the world, all down through South America, all across Turtle Island, United States, however you deem it. People are trying to find their route, trying to get to independence, self-determination. People are looking, people are searching, and people are hungry, and people are tired. You know, generation after generation, they watch their parents, some of them, uncles, aunts and uncles, drink themselves to death, die on drugs. They watch their friends commit suicide, and you know, just about every youngster knows somebody that took their own life, you know. So people are tired of this misery and this that is being oppressed upon the people, this slow, miserable death. And now the new racism, the vaccinated against the unvaccinated, is always a new boogeyman in America. Every year is a new one. You know, the computer's going to stop, the Arabs is coming, the terrorists is coming, the sky is falling. There's always something here. And this is just the way these colonial constructs work. Why? Because they're afraid. They're fear-based. They're afraid to be free. So they create all of this nonsense. But if that's what they want, let them have it. But we can no longer support them and take care of them. They got to take care of themselves now. Time for our people to take care of themselves and be themselves. Be true to themselves. Be connected to the great creator. Be connected to Mother Earth. Be connected to each other. Take care of the animals. Take care of each other. Take care of the earth. Take care of the place where you live. Don't go to bed with food if you know your neighbors is hungry. Share. Take care of each other. Be of those who are about what's righteous, what's just, what's fair, what's balanced. And all we can do is invite you to this. This is true independence, folks, self-governance. Nobody don't tell me which way to come, which way to go, when I can and can't go, what I can and can't do. We don't live like that. When we hungry, we hunt. When we hungry, we fish. When our people in trouble, we go to their aid, no matter where they are, who they are. All we got to do is hear about it. We handle that. Somebody's doing us wrong, we go and handle it, no matter what part of whose corporation or whose company or who is who, what's what, because we take care of our own business. We do business with other countries, worldwide, globally. We have our own way of doing things in our own indigenous way. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. We have our own way to do it. And we got so many beautiful languages that we have to revive. The people come from Haiti, they say Sakpaste. People come from South Dakota, they say Matake Asin. People come from down south our way, Osteo. People come from the eastern Arabia and Africa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. People from Korea, they come, they say, Ana Hashimika. Khamsa Hamida. All these beautiful indigenous languages. And I learned a lot of this lingo from the people who I've encountered and lived with and been able to share life with. And they share it with me. They share it with us. So share with one another. Take care of one another. And move towards independence, self-determination. And give your face to your creator. Give your soul, your heart to your creator. Take care of Mother Earth. Take care of your four-legged brothers and sisters, your winged brothers and sisters, your fin brothers and sisters, and they're going to take care of you, the trees, the plants. Mother Earth provides every plant, bearing seed, herb, food, and medicine for us. And we run to the drugstore. Drugs come from the laboratory. Medicine grew from the ground, from Mother Earth. Simplicity. Yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah. Yeah, yeah, eh, ha, ya, weh, lo, ya, eh, ha. Weh, ya, eh, ha, weh, ya, eh, ha. As-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Soledad, Baha'i. Until the next time, until next week, folks. Peace and blessings be upon all of you. This has been Indigenous Voices of People. With Jabril, Chinupa, and Amin. Oyate, and many others who called in tonight. Thank you, listening audience, and all indigenous people across Turtle Island. Wado, Wapilatonka.